This show is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky things that are best enjoyed after you see the movie. So any movie we talk about, we recommend you go see. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
Horror. You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Horror.
Alive. It's alive.
Groovy.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Oh the Horror, a classic and modern horror movie podcast from an expert and newcomer's perspective. I'm the expert, Rob Holmes.
And I'm the newcomer, Steve Allman. And what have we got today, Rob?
Well, today we have a French-Belgian horror film from 2016. That movie is Raw, directed by Julia Ducournau.
It's fine. I would have butchered that name anyway. That's why I picked you for the intro. That's why you got the IMDb notes. That's why I'm not the one that's saying her name.
This movie's amazing, man.
It's very French. Very, very French indeed.
Yeah, I had a really good time with it. It kind of took me by surprise. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about Raw in the past year, and there's been a lot of hype behind it. And I just hadn't taken the time to see it, but I'm very, very glad that I did.
Now, all I really knew about this was that it was vaguely about cannibalism, and it was kind of getting a little bit of hype on the internet, and I had literally nothing else going into this, and I think that's kind of excellent for a new type of movie that's kind of been making the rounds, and it's been going in the circuits of festivals and stuff like that, and it's been getting some pretty good play. So let's run down what happens for those of you who haven't seen it. See it, because I would recommend this with a few caveats, but I think it's definitely worth your time. So a brief rundown of what goes on here. Why don't you hit me with that, Rob?
All right. So there's this girl, Justine, and she's starting her first year of veterinary school, and she's a vegetarian. So basically what happens is during a hazing, and her older sister Alexia is there as well, she is forced to eat meat for the first time. And once she eats the meat, she starts to crave it in all forms. So, you know, she steals a hamburger, she tries to, she sneaks away from school with her roommate to try and eat a bunch of meat when she can, she eats raw chicken when that doesn't help. And then it escalates from there.
Yeah, into a very strange, witty, kind of sexy in a weird way. Coming of age tale, you might say.
Oh no, it's very much a coming of age tale, and it's really well executed. A lot of the stuff that they do, other films I think would have tried to take individual moments from this film and stretch them out a little too much to make that kind of the big get of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this film doesn't really do that. It kind of keeps throwing little pieces at you throughout, and it's doing this really good world building, because we understand that this isn't just happening to Justine. We find out later it is also happening to Alexia. And even throughout, we find out that it's gone back even further.
Yes, in an amazing final twist for the rest of the film.
That final moment of the film, that like blew my mind, man. When I saw that, it
was crazy. But like getting into how this movie kind of presents itself, it's very interesting, because I think like French Belgian type of indie cinema. From the types of indie films that I've seen from France and from Belgium before, like, they're very artistic, they're very, like, a little up its own butt with symbolism and stuff like that, and there's a lot of artistic sentiment here, and there's a lot of, like, artsy-fartsy types of things that are tossed around, but I never feel like it takes itself that seriously, but it still is, like, it knows what it's doing, this movie.
Right. I mean, this is kind of the post-French New Wave horror.
That's exactly the words that I meant to say.
Yeah.
Less eloquently than
you. Now, let me put it this way. I love French New Wave. I think some of the stuff that was pulled off there was absolutely amazing. It was very over the top. It pushed things to a new level. I understand what you're saying about French films having that weird feeling to them, but I also think that that's more of an American stereotype that's been put on them.
And that's probably my sentiment, like kind of seeing like through that lens.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, this is a little
French.
Like,
I'll tell you, like, French cinema is one of my favorites, and there's Jean-Pierre Jeunet, and there, you know, these other amazing, amazing directors. That have come out of there that, you know, I enjoy their films very much. So, yeah, I think there's, it's the same thing that we have here. There's that indie scene of films that are sometimes taken way too seriously and they're very melodramatic. I feel like that's going to be in any country we go to, but that's
very true. You know. It's very true. It's for lack of a better term, a foreign sentiment to me.
Right. Right.
And I say that only because that, like, clearly with what our main character is going through is a very strong metaphor for her growing up, for her budding sexuality, for trying to fit in. It's a lot of it's a big metaphor for things that can sometimes appear ham-fisted in a bit of a weird way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this movie definitely takes itself... It takes itself seriously, or at least it plays everything in a realistic tone, yet some of the stuff that is happening is a little absurdist.
Yeah, and as you watch it, you're actually more, like, all the things that I knew were played for laughs, because there's a few, all of those moments that were played for laughs, I was kind of just, like, fascinated at how, like, quickly those hit, and I was like, oh, this is... What? Like, I was like taken aback at like the like brief junt in tone to go right back to what it was doing.
Well, and there were some moments in it too that make you extremely unsettled, and then they up the ante by pushing it in a different direction. Mainly the one that I'm talking about was the bikini wax scene.
Yes, absolutely.
Because when you're watching it and she's putting it on there onto her sister Justine's legs, and she's about to pull, and you see the skin pulling up, you're like, oh God, oh, she's going to tear her flesh somehow.
Yeah,
somehow,
it's going to be like some grotesque thing because of her rash or whatever.
Right, and this feels like one of those movies that would go that far to do something like that. Where in reality, that would probably not happen, or not happen to an extreme. You're expecting it, and I'm like, oh God, she's pulling it. She's gonna end up like yanking off a ton of skin. Next thing you know, she pulls out the scissors, and you're like, oh God, it's gonna be even worse. And then, boom, she ends up getting her own finger cut off instead.
Right, and
which comes out of nowhere.
Right, and it's kind of an interesting thing. This confusion might have not have come from it being an unclear movie, but just from it being a foreign film where, like, you kind of have to pay a bit more attention because you're reading subtitles, you want to pay attention to what's going on screen. I was very, very taken aback by when she actually arrives at this veterinary school, if we weren't in some sort of, like, weird, like, alternate reality of where, like, this sort of, like, hazing sort of thing is, like, a cult or something. Like, I didn't know, like, what a veterinary school was until it was actually just a veterinary school, maybe, like, about a half hour in. I'm like, oh, this is just an actual school.
It's a very strange veterinary school, and I don't know if this is something that actually... occurs at some of these schools. I mean, there are other films out there that I've seen before that kind of delve into this topic a bit. Maybe not a veterinary school, but there's some where it deals with like mortuary school and things like that, and it's a lot of gallows humor and things like that that go on there, as well as they party all the time in the same way and do some of the same hazing type rituals. So I don't know if it's something that deals with different types of medical schools in general, or
right. And the weird thing is that it's presented in a sort of odd way where there's kind of this surrealist like vibe going on with like when they're drenched in blood for their first photograph, and that's what all of them were doing. I'm like, what kind of ritual is happening when they just get drenched in blood and then eat raw animal parts? Like, are they actually, like, this is even before they ever actually go to a single class to make me think that they're actually becoming veterans. or veterans. Yeah, veterinaries.
Veterinarians?
I'm clearly not a doctor. Like, we know this now.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I mean, it's a very strange world that it seems to take place in, or at least we're being, even if the world is normal, the pieces of the world that we're seeing and being exposed to make it seem maybe stranger than it really is. But I feel that by the time we get to the point where Alexei gets her finger cut off, and as after she passes out and Justine starts eating it and just like goes to town on it, I feel like we are in a very strange world.
Yeah, and I feel when like you see that, it's an interesting sequence, because given the trajectory of like how she's obsessed with meat and eating meat,
all of a sudden too, and it didn't need to be, it wasn't something that I felt needed to be overly explained. I actually think it was done very well in its storytelling to happen in such a quick thing, where it's kind of like it's just a trigger that just boom, it happens once, and she's like. Impulse,
and then
you know?
she's kind of like, not sensually, but like she's being very delicate with the finger and like it's squeezing out the blood a little bit, drinking that, and then like nibbling on it just a tad, and then like going to town on it like a chicken wing. Like this takes about like 5 minutes of a sequence for her to actually like look at the finger to her eating the finger.
Well, this is a huge moment for her, because it's. She's crossing the line from eating meat into cannibalism.
This is
the moment where she's testing the waters to see if that craving is something that really takes hold. And when she finds out that it's something that she needs, kind of like air or water.
Yeah,
that's
the interesting thing that we learn about her character, because she's very much a girl that's not known to the world. Like, she is inexperienced with many, many things.
Right.
And when she first tastes meat, let alone first goes to a party or first does anything in this school, it's very much a, again, coming-of-age sort of thing, where a trial by fire, where you're just there and you're doing it. And when she actually considers the finger and actually, like, thinks about eating human flesh...
Yeah.
To her, from the leap from vegetarian to eating meat, that's not like the biggest leap to go to, all right, human now. Like the way that she acts, the way that this actress portrays that sort of leap is very, very believable. And it makes that stretch to think like, okay, I'm just eating a human finger. It isn't that big of a deal for her.
Well, I mean, once we've gotten to the point where she's eating raw chicken out of the package...
Right, we could see that, like, that progression.
Yeah, we kind of know where it's gone by this point. It is very, very unsettling.
But it's, again, fascinating. It is unsettling and fascinating, and Rob, I should have watched this movie when I wasn't eating, because I had a salad with avocados in it, and it was, like, right when she was eating that finger. And I'm like, well, great.
You set yourself up, because you were watching a movie that you knew was going to be about cannibalism, and you decided, you know what? I'm just going to eat during it. I'm sure it'll be all right.
And that was probably my own foolish thing. So I'm more so blaming myself than anybody else. But still, should not have watched this while I eat, and I should also never show this movie to one of my friends that may or may not be squeamish about the treatment of animals or the portrayal of dead animals.
Yeah, this movie definitely goes crazy with that. And then when they put Quickie down, Alexei's dog, that was depressing. Dog didn't even do anything.
No, it didn't. But it was more so the fact there were sequences with this horse in a few beginning sequences in the film where... This is when I was very unsure about the fact that if this is an actual veterinary school or not, where they drug this horse and like kind of just like ease him down to the ground, strap him up from his legs, like unbind his jaw and like shove this tube down him. And I'm not a vet. I don't know if that's actually what you're supposed to do to a horse, but it looked very unsettling and kind of disturbing to see. And all of these freshman students are just kind of watching this happen in like a little bit in shock. And it's very surreal. It's very weird to see. And then there's another cutaway to seeing the horse like strapped down with all of these belts and reins on it while it's on this treadmill, just running and running. And it's very disconcerting to see. It's
right,
very...
but then again, how much different is it than the scene in Reanimator where they're going and pulling, you know, pulling out the brains and talking about brain death and all those
scenes.
It parallels pretty similarly.
Absolutely. It's more so played for...
Right.
It's played for something that's supposed to make you feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly. Like, you're not supposed to be, like... you don't feel comfortable when you're watching this happen. And...
No.
It's kind of those things that are kind of just like loosening those mental muscles of you to see what you're about to see for the rest of the movie. And it very much worked. I want to talk about the relationship between our main character and her sister, actually, because
we get to
this movie opens on a very like fascinating sequence that we don't know who it is, but we see a girl basically leap out in the middle of a road while a car's approaching to make it crash into a car, or make it crash into a tree.
Or crash into a tree, yeah.
And she gets up almost immediately, completely fine, just kind of like juking and pump faking away from the car. And you just see her walk to the car and like open the door and then like smash cut to title. And we don't know about what that happens again. And... There's an amazing sort of growth relationship that she has with her sister that it feels very, very real. And the second that we see her, again, post-finger-eating scene, we are expecting this giant, like, blowout of a revelation to, like, we want our main character to stop, like, be confronted about what she's doing and to be, like, called out, shamed about it, or like something to shake her to make her snap out of it. And that was kind of the craziest thing about this movie, is that at no point was she ever like rocked to the point of asking herself, what am I doing?
Nope, she just keeps going down the path, and each step she takes down it, you find out that, I mean, you find out at one point that Alexia has the exact same thing. It happened to her, too, and this is what she does. And she is the girl who is causing these crashes, or maybe that's the crash that happened, you know, with her sister. But, she's killing and eating people as well, because she has the same hunger for human flesh.
Yeah, it's presented so matter-of-factly when she does because she just walks her over to the ditch. I do love the one actual laugh-out-loud moment that I knew, like, that got me when it was played for laughs, is that her mom insisted on having her being in a wheelchair even though she's just lost a finger. And, like, they're in the parking lot and, like, she's just mad and she just tosses the wheelchair to the side. She's like, come on. Like, that was just too funny for me. Not even so much her cannibalism, but the act of her jumping in front of that car in front of her sister was presented so matter-of-factly that it took me aback again, because I forgot what they were doing. I forgot that they were just in a ditch waiting for a car.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing. And then you know, you think this is going to bond them together. You know, we're at a point where we're like, all right, well, Justine and Alexia are going to be bonded and, you know, it's all going to go well. And I guess at this point, like, Justine has started sleeping with her gay roommate, Adrian.
Well, she did once.
She did once and then kept biting him a bunch. And he was like, then like when she has an orgasm, she bites herself instead.
That was a very fascinating scene, only because I feel like she only did that to stop herself.
Right. No, that seemed to be the reason. It seemed that she was either going to bite him and really do some damage, or she had to bite herself in order to prevent that from happening. So,
which again is crazy because every time that like we see this, it's just on the like on the periphery of what we think are normal people seeing this. Because there's another moment where like her and her sister fight, and like she just takes a chunk out of her cheek, and
yeah,
like, that's crazy to see in a fight.
Well,
but,
see, that's where some of the shit that starts happening in this film, you start realizing there's this weird jealousy going on because Justine and Adrian seem to have this thing going on. But it seems like Adrian has some sort of history with Alexia where there's this weird jealousy going on that way. And then, you know, Alexia fucks with her sister. And then it gets turned into this viral video where she gets her so shit-faced and holds a dead person's hand in front of her face and tries to get her to bite it.
And, she, and she's straight up doing, like, what looks like a zombie impression.
Right, but she's like, taunting her sister.
Yeah.
And making it into this thing where it's like she's supposed to be on her side, but instead, what does she do? She just fucks with her the entire time and makes it worse. So then, you know, when they get into that crazy fight, you know it's like, all right, I guess we'll see how far they go. And then when Alexia just bites Justine's cheek and just rips off part of her cheek, you're like, holy shit. Then they just start biting the shit out of each other. It turns into a fight that becomes like a biting match.
Right. And going back to, like, her essentially being hazed by her sister about her cannibalism, like, people believe that happened, or they bought that because she was so drunk and she's clearly just
right.
Like, so messed. Like, you hear the guys like, just dude, don't film this. This is like sad. Don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can see that. And it's also a very interesting reflection about how her sister clearly sees this cannibalism as just a normal thing that happens to you. And it's so much so that, like, yeah, you could tease her about it. You could tease her about not having a Brazilian, or you could tease her about not having had sex before, just as much
right.
as you can be like, oh, hey, you want this hand? You can't have it, blah, blah, blah.
Like, yeah, but I feel like it's also just trying to degrade her at the same time, just because I feel like there's this weird rivalry between them that I think that has existed maybe further back that we don't really know about, just with the way that the parents are talking about the sister in the beginning when she doesn't arrive to meet Justine. Now then we get to the aftermath of that fight. And
mm-hmm, yeah.
The aftermath is waking up in the morning and Justine has Adrian in bed with her, and you're like, oh, well, this seems normal. And then she pulls the blanket back, and Adrian's dead. Half of his leg has been eaten.
It's a magnificent reveal. Because
she thinks that she's eaten him. She thinks that she went fully ballistic and ate Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
Little does she know that it turns out Alexia, like, killed him with a ski pole.
Yeah, the fateful ski pole that they first met with. But that is an excellent use of filmmaking because, like, it's a very peaceful waking up sort of a thing because he's very quaintly sleeping, or he appears to be. And, like, she touches his face, and it's all, like, nice and fine. And given the fact that they're in bed together, she just, like her hand moves down towards his leg or where he and the second that her hand comes up and there's blood and he's like, oh my God, like not only is he bitten, where is he bitten?
Yeah.
But then pulls off the blanket, like giant chunk of his leg is gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh geez, well he's just dead.
He's totally gone. There's no coming back from that. And then you find out that he was murdered, and then, you know, not just, like, eaten and died, but, like, murdered, stabbed in the back and everything.
Right, and she's hysterical. Like, why didn't you fight back? Why didn't you let me do this? Blah, blah, blah. And, like,
pulls
his back back and sees that he's been stabbed with the giant skewer.
Man. It's such a weird moment because you think that there's going to be another battle between Alexia and Justine. And you think she's going to kill her, but, you know, there's still that family bond there, and she doesn't. But they have this weird, like, at the end where, you know, Alexia's in jail now or in an insane asylum, wherever the hell she is.
Yeah.
She's, you know.
She's clearly locked away.
yeah, they have this weird relationship with each other still, where it's like,
it's playful. It's
loving. Still playful. It's like she pushes her face up where she has the bite mark in, and like Alexia kisses it. It's so strange, but it does show that they have this common bond with each other that they think no one else really has. Little do they know, at the end we get this kind of little tagger at the end, where Justine's dad is saying, like, look, what happened to you and your sister, it's not your fault, it's not Alexia's. And he starts talking about their mom. And I'm just like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
And this entire time, he's been, like, a kind of standoffish, like, a bit of a, not so much a dick, but just a little cold doer.
A little distant. I was thinking it was going to be...
Sorry?
No. I was thinking it was going to be him. I thought it was going to be something that came from him, which I should have just realized it was going to come from the mom, but the mom seems so put together and normal, right?
Right.
So that's what threw me. I thought that the dad had some sort of like weird issue or something that somehow got passed on to the girls. But damn, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy to find out that the mom was a cannibal. And it's you could find out that it was so sublimely hinted at when they were looking at their mom and dad's initiation picture from way back when they went to school there.
Right.
Where you're like, you can barely see dad's face. He's covered in blood. And I'm like, oh, that's so good.
And then just seeing that, like, when he, just right at the end, he's like, yep, he couldn't understand why that the mom didn't want to be with him the first time, until the first time that they kissed. And then after then, he opens up his shirt. You see all of these different scars and pieces of, like, chunks of flesh just gone.
Yeah.
And I love he's just like, I'm sure you'll be able to find a solution.
Like, again, it's like he says it as if he says it like there's this thing in his family, like, oh, like heart disease has been killing my family. That runs in the family.
Right.
Like it's
right.
it's like a problem that we've had, and it's just something that we know we've got to deal with.
Well, I mean, he's been dealing with it for obviously like over, you know, around 20 years or so, based on the age of the kids. In how long he's, you know, been with his wife. So like, you know that this has been going on for
decades.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy. Like this is it's a great movie. It's got a lot of layers going on in it. It doesn't feel like just a simple, see, a lot of the time with movies like this and indie films, a lot of the ones, at least that I've seen, you know, prior to this one, most of them kind of touch on certain elements of a story, but they never go fully into it, or they leave like this little idea behind, kind of like, or a little myth thing of like, oh, did it or didn't it happen? Like, it's very subtle. Yeah, they don't really delve into it the way that this delves into it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, I just really like this film. I think it's just, it's a whole lot of fun, and it kind of, it definitely exceeded my expectations.
It's a fascinating type of movie, because I from the beginning, I was quite confused, and I think the more and more I watch it, the more and more clear I become on a few things and not others. Because there's this weird, like, kind of, like, almost dreamlike state that you like pull yourself out of when you're first seeing this movie, where you're trying to figure out what is, like, you're trying to find like these sort of like pinpoints of where your suspension of disbelief can go and not go. Because like with the setting and like all of these hazing rituals and the hinting out about cannibalism, there's this interesting like flow and wave that comes with the things that this movie makes you believe and it makes you willing to believe. Like, all interactions with adults are very odd and off-putting to make you think that all of these kids are just kind of distrusted, that maybe this is a thing that the youth is going on to. Your mind keeps reeling as you're watching this movie, and I kind of loved that. Where you actually, like, I think the the I'm gonna collect my thoughts right now. The rate at which this movie moves makes you think a lot more is happening than there actually is. And when you realize that it's a rather simple story, it actually makes it all the more fascinating. I would very much recommend this movie. I don't know. I would even recommend it to the sort of squeamish, because I don't think that it's overtly violent. It's not crazy violent. I've seen far more violent films.
Yeah, I've seen way more violent films than this. I mean, definitely, I think it's the idea of what's happening is kind of more unsettling than the actuality. I mean, thinking of eating raw meat, thinking of eating another person, thinking about just certain moments. It's just the way that it's done, especially the setup when with the finger, as you said, you know, it's like this testing to see if it's like playing around with it a bit before she actually like eats it.
Right.
And it's just, that's where it gets unsettling, because you're watching, you're like, don't do it. She's doing it. And then it just keeps going.
The fact that that dad said to his daughter, yeah, we got to put the dog down. If it gets the taste of flesh and likes it, it's over. Like, you would say that knowing your history, my dude? That's insane.
Yeah, I think he was trying to just cover his tracks on that, which doesn't, it's very strange. It's a very strange moment when he says that, but I mean, I think it's also to save face.
Right, it's also, it's foreboding is what it is. Because you don't think that he would possibly be able to know about this, and it makes sense for an animal. It makes a lot more weirder sense for somebody whose wife is a cannibal and says that to the idea that maybe his daughters might be a cannibal. And knows that probably one of them is.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't want that kind of spreading around. They're going to the hospital, they're checking on stuff. If he says it out there in front of them, like, they're not going to be prepared for that.
No, exactly. So it's a crazy turn of events that this latter half of a movie brings to you. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. It moves at a very fun pace. It luxuriates artistically in a weird way. It's very, very good. I like it. I'm very interested to see what this director does afterwards.
Yeah,
if this is just going to be one of her fun weird debuts before she clearly blows up.
Well, this was her first feature, so. Yeah. This is really cool to see as a first feature to come out this strongly with it. And she also wrote the film as well. So
yeah, a very, very strong film.
Yeah, very, very strong first effort. I'm extremely excited to see what she comes out with next. So hopefully, you know, there's something in the pipeline.
Absolutely. Well, I think that would be a fine place to wrap up, and a fine place to say that I would recommend this movie. Only if you are fine with seeing animals in very, very, very sad situations.
and people in messed up situations too. I mean, look, if you're a big animal lover, probably skip this film or have one of your friends see it first, and then maybe if they depending on how well they know you, they can kind of tell you and if you should see this film or not, or if you can handle this film or not. I think it's great. I enjoyed it a whole lot. I wholeheartedly recommend it to anyone. Well, you know, unless you're going to get super squeamish over it. But still, you know, just try and watch it anyway. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, all right, why not?
Yeah, that is going to do it for us here at Oh the Horror. You can feel free to check us out on Twitter, on Facebook. You can check out our iTunes page or wherever you download podcasts. It would also really help us out if you gave us a review on iTunes. That's the best way to get people to know about the show, and it really means a lot to us. We don't really advertise that much for the show, so anything that you guys can let us know really helps us out. And
share it, tell your friends, have them tell their friends, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. That's the best
way. Yeah, exactly. So, Steve, what do we have lined up for next week?
Next week, we have the modern, I guess you could say, hit of a horror film from the past few years, The Conjuring.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, exactly. So, next week, take a look at The Conjuring, And we will see you next time on Oh the Horror. I am Steve Allman.
And I'm Rob Holmes. Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Come, it is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.